Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. I think it's important for us to understand as we go through life and through our Christian life is that God's a just God, and He wants us to be just, and He wants us to be lovers of the truth. And I think this is one way that we can become that way. Let's read the first three verses in Proverbs chapter 12. It says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. He who hates reproof is stupid. A good man will obtain favor from the Lord, but he will condemn a man who devises evil. A man will not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous will be moved. Will not be moved. The root of the righteous will not be moved." there's a lot of wisdom right in the first verse. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, and I think that's important to bring about. If we don't, I guess in some of the circles that we hang around, sometimes we find people that just want to do things because they want to do things because it seems right, or maybe it don't seem right. It maybe serves them better, but I think it's important for us to want to have knowledge, what's really right, what's really true. there's a scripture I'd like to go to over in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And for those of you who don't know what we're doing here is, when we get here, we draw a scripture out of the hat. So that's how we do our quick draw deal. So I had no idea what this scripture was, and Brandon was probably trying to trick me here, but anyway. Philippians 4, verse 8, I think, adds to what was said in Proverbs. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you." I think that's maybe what the writer of Proverbs was talking about here, is having our minds dwell on whatever's good, whatever's right, whatever's pure, and whatever, you know, whatever we're involved in. And I think it's important to focus on that as we go through the things we do each day. I think Paul says, "Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I think that's what a good takeaway would be from this. And in order I think sometimes if we turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we look at what Paul's telling the people here, and I'll just read a little bit of this towards the end of the chapter. I'll start with verse 24, I guess, and maybe 23. And he says, "I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it a slave, lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. That sounds a little bit like discipline to me. But I buffet my body and make it a slave, lest after I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. I think that's what kind of lives we need to live is disciplined lives, and I think if we continue to look at scriptures, it'll help us be that way. I think I heard this scripture a couple times this weekend in Joshua chapter 24. This is what Joshua is telling the people, and I think this is great advice for all of us. And if we, in order to do this, it takes some discipline in of ourselves. In verse 15, he says, "And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I think that's the thing that we need to establish in our minds, that me and my house will serve the Lord. And that's the how God wants us to discipline ourselves, because discipline is knowledge, and as we learn what God wants us to do, that will discipline ourselves. I chuckled a little bit with how the writer of Proverbs said the second part of the first verse in chapter 12. He says, "But he who hates reproof is stupid." That's pretty blunt and maybe not really politically correct, but that's what he says. Whoever hates reproof is stupid. Those who don't want to change or don't want to be corrected by what the scriptures have to say are stupid. And I think that's as we go on down through this whole reading that I read to start with, we can see that the righteous will not be moved. And I think that's what we need to continue to establish ourselves in. If we have, I had a couple of people wanting me to push a couple of things this weekend, and I said, not unless it's pure, not unless it's true. And I think that's what we always need to look at, try to figure out whether what we're standing up for is pure and good and righteous. So anyway, those are my thoughts. I'm sure these other guys will have a bunch of them.
Turn to Proverbs 27. I got the chance of getting two verses this morning. But a thought that kind of came to mind before I start, we were kind of singing we sang All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, talked about the earth being a ball or a round. And I saw an argument, pretty convincing argument, for the flat earth on Facebook the other day. And it talked about there's 70%, the earth is 70% of water, and none of it's carbonated, so it's in fact flat. So, I mean, if you weren't convinced before that it's flat, then, I mean, I don't know how you couldn't be there. So anyway, Proverbs chapter 27, and I'll read both the verses Brandon, or both of the passages Brandon gave, and then I'll say a few words about it. Proverbs 27, verse 17. It says, "Iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another." And the other verse that he gave me is in Proverbs 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And we're going to start in verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 19. And Solomon writes, Listen to the counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. What is desirable in a man is his kindness, and it is better to be a poor man than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. So a couple questions kind of jumped out. First, what is iron? And what counsel are we supposed to seek? You know, it says in Proverbs 19, seek counsel and accept discipline. And then, what discipline? And so, if we turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and Paul here is encouraging Timothy, who is a young evangelist, and in verse 6 is where I'm going to go here, in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And Paul is encouraging Timothy as he's dealing with whether it's false doctrine or actually leading the congregation and what by which way to lead them. And he talks in verse 6 there, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished by the words of the faith and the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things. And then he goes on. But he is encouraging Timothy as he is teaching there. Bodily discipline, he gives an example. That's of little profit. He's not saying it doesn't have any profit, little profit, but godliness, that has profit both now and in life to come. And that discipline that we have, that godly discipline that we have, that's a discipline. It just can't be anybody's counsel. It can't be anybody's discipline that we follow. The discipline we follow has to be the Lord's discipline. And where we're shaped by the counsel we have is God's counsel. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. And as we're turning there, so a couple ways to look for this, answering the question, iron sharpening iron, and you know, what does that mean, and the discipline that we were seeking, or the counsel we're seeking. When somebody might say, for example, that, and this is probably relatively happened a lot in the New Testament, and even some examples we'll see, but for example, they might say, well, you'd maybe you're untrained, so you probably don't know as much as the guy that's trained. That's kind of the general thinking, and that can be true in a lot of ways. But I will probably differ a little on that, is if the trained man refuses to talk with the untrained man, there's probably not as much training in that trained man as it leads on to be. Okay, because if he was really trained, he'd be able to talk or to show the truth to somebody who's not trained. But I want to point out is that whether you're trained or whether you're not trained has nothing to do necessarily with whether you have the truth or not. And in Acts chapter 4, after Paul and John, or Peter and John, I'm sorry, were arrested, in verse 13, it's before they're arrested, they're arresting them, and it says in verse 13, it says, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John, they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Now, that is not just a verse just to go say, well, you shouldn't be trained, you shouldn't train yourself, you shouldn't be disciplined, you shouldn't necessarily study. That's not what it's saying there. But the point is that their discipline and their training didn't come from a textbook. It came from the Holy Spirit. Okay, their discipline was, what does God say about this? Their instructions were, what does Jesus want us to do? And that's the discipline that they had. their discipline and their counsel came from God. All right, turn back to Isaiah 14. And on that note, like as it said in Proverbs 19, it talks about the counsel of the Lord will stand. In Isaiah chapter 14, we're going to start in verse 27, or just only read verse 27, but before this here, God's talking about Syria and how they are, they plan against the whole earth and so on. And then in verse 27, Isaiah writes, "For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back?" See, God, even the plans of the world, you know, as broad for a second, the world might have plans for however it wants to do things or whatever narrative it wants to push. But one thing we got to understand, and I will say, a lot of times God allows things to happen. But when God's plan is not being twisted or not being, doesn't have a roadblock in front of it, it's not being thwarted, God's plan will happen no matter what the world decides. And a lot of times, as in the case of, let's say Babylon overtaking Israel, that was part of God's plan because Israel was wicked. But what you understand is that no matter what the world wants to do, if the world wants to crush the church, guess what? The world is not going to be able to, no matter how much it looks like it. Yeah, we individually, maybe we'll get killed, but the church as a whole will not fall. And that's important for us to understand. And sometimes, we talked a little bit about it Wednesday evening, but when you had it, you know, it's a little easier, and maybe it's not easier, but it's different nowadays with the way we fight war, and the principle's still there. But when you had swords and shields and spears and stuff, when their war was fought like that, the guys on the front line went there probably expecting to die. Okay, they didn't go there thinking that, well, like the artillery's coming behind and then they're going to stop right before we get killed. They're going there expecting to die. And one thing we need to understand is that if we understand that God's purpose will not change, sometimes God's purpose might be for us to make the sacrifice too. And that's a little bit off kind of what we were saying, but turn back to Proverbs 27 now. There's a point I want to make there, that the Lord's discipline or the Lord's counsel is always going to stand. And that's the counsel we need to seek because that's always going to stand. That's the discipline we need to have, is the Lord's discipline. But I just want to bring up here in Proverbs 27, verse 17, which I read a lot. And this verse can get misused, but it's interesting. The Hebrew, correctly translated the Hebrew, kind of gives a little different picture to this. But so I'll just read it. The American Standard is what I read out of. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. A better translation would be, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the face or the character of his friend. Okay, this isn't just the idea that, well, iron sharpens iron. If you're in a debate, let's just say creation versus evolutionary debate, that's not an iron sharpening iron situation. Okay, that's not, it doesn't mean that, well, that the evolutionary guy's got a lot of points and that's really good to have. No, that's not an iron sharpening ironing situation. And iron sharpens iron, and that word in verse 17 in New American Standard translates it another. But that word really means friend or neighbor. Yeah, it's translated another sometimes in the scriptures. It's only translated opponent twice. So the overwhelmingly main meaning of that Hebrew word is somebody that you're a companion with. It's actually translated husband or lover at times. It's a companion. It's a close friendship that it's talking about. So iron sharpens iron is talking about the righteous sharpening the righteous, the helping each other out. It's helping the character out. Okay, it's not just, well, I got to read all this stuff because iron sharpens iron. No, if it's false, it's not ironing sharpening iron. It has to be within the discipline of God. It has to be godly. It has to be within the instruction, within the instructions of the Scripture, or it's not iron. God's way will always stand. no matter what. And we need to make sure we're in that way. If we want to have be iron sharpened iron, have that character changed into the character of Christ, it has to come from God. It can't come from just anywhere. That's all I had this morning.
All right, thanks, Kirk. It'll be in Proverbs chapter 1 for our next passage here. And if you haven't figured it out yet, our theme for today was in Proverbs. And I didn't pick these with any intention of them fitting together or making a grand point all together. I knew that that's probably going to happen because that's the way the book of Proverbs is, I guess. So, very interesting, the different thoughts here. Proverbs chapter 1. And again, I just kind of picked out passages that I like, that stood out, that I thought had really good meanings. And if you read through Proverbs, I mean, it's really just overall a collection of from someone that is what mature and has wisdom and has understanding. And they're trying and making their best effort to pass that on to the future generation, right? Bring up these younger generations, all this wisdom and knowledge that they have. And, man, if you read through Proverbs, and there's so much there on how we should live, different situations, how we should handle ourselves, so much different stuff. And if a person can put all that together and take that and apply that to a new covenant idea, And put that into a spiritual sense, it's just it's a recipe for success, is what it is. Proverbs is such a good book to help us to as we strive and press on towards righteousness. Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 5. A wise man will hear an increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and the riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So again, we talk about kind of some of the underlying or the themes here, talking about wisdom and increasing in learning, acquiring counsel and understanding, things that are profitable for an individual as they move forward and as they grow. And I think one key here is as we look in verse 5 there. It says, a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. I mean, it's so important where we look to for our counsel. Just like Kirk talked about there, it was perfect leading up to this, and I didn't really think about that until he was kind of saying it. I thought, man, that makes exact sense what I was thinking. I'm talking about the idea of iron sharpening iron. You know, that truth that Scripture has helping to shape and sharpen the individual. That's where we need to look to for our counsel, right? That's where a man of understanding is going to acquire that kind of counsel. Wise counsel. Not counsel of foolishness or somebody that is going to lead us astray. So important to know where and how we seek that and look for that. If we turn over a few chapters in Proverbs to chapter 14. Few pages, chapter 14. Verse 6, starting in verse 6. A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge is easy to him who has understanding. Leave the presence of a fool, or you will not discern words of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. A scoffer seeks wisdom and finds none. It's because they're not looking in the right place with the right attitude, right? They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to see the truth. They don't want to find it because it doesn't fit to what they want to do, right? That's not iron sharpening iron, just as Kirk said. That's seeking something for our own desire is a foolish way to acquire counsel. If we kind of know in the back of our mind, hey, I really don't want to talk to those guys over there because they're going to tell me things that I really don't want to hear. So what do? You go find people that are like-minded of you and hear what you want to hear, right? Now that same model there can be used for both for a good purpose and a bad purpose, right? If we want to seek what is true and what is right and what is from God, we're going to seek it from those that know it, right? That's iron sharpening iron. But if we want to just hear what makes us feel good and goes along with what our way of life is, we're going to go talk to the world over here, and that's going to lead us to foolishness, right? That's a foolish thing to do. Nothing good's going to come out of that. And then, so we move on in this passage, verse 7. I think this is another critical part of this this idea. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Without, as I call it, a healthy fear of the Lord, you're not going to have this knowledge. You're not going to have the beginning of this knowledge. Without that, you have no desire for that, right? You're just content where you are in this sinful world. And just like this verse says, as a fool, you're going to despise wisdom and instruction. It's not something you're going to want to hear without a fear of the Lord. Look over in chapter 2, just over a page. Or excuse me, chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Starting in verse 1. "He who separates himself seeks his own desire. He quarrels against all sound wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind. When a wicked man comes, contempt also comes, and with dishonor comes reproach." He who separates himself seeks his own desire. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing in his own mind. They do not want to hear what is truthful, what is right, what is righteous. They just want to hear what's in their own mind, right? The things that work good for them, benefit, you could say, them from a worldly standpoint. Now, this doesn't just apply to somebody that just is a complete atheist or somebody that just denies God. But oftentimes, there's people that seek God and look for all the good things that He gives to us, right? That's good. That makes us feel good, right? But then, when something that He does or we see that it maybe doesn't make us feel so good and it's a little bit harder for us to swallow, then we don't want to be part of that, right? Right? Then that's not something. I don't know if I like this, right? And the great example that I see from that point is in the book of Job, Job chapter 2. Also a book that one can acquire quite a bit of wisdom from, the book of Job. Job chapter 2, and as we know, leading up to this, quickly Job lost everything, right? Lost his health and his wealth and so much against him. Let's go to verse 9 here. Job chapter 2, verse 9. "And his wife said to him, 'Do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die.' But he said to her, 'You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity?' And all this Job did not sin with his lips." Okay, so this is a perfect opportunity for a guy like Job to curse God. And, why me? This never should have happened. You shouldn't allow this to happen to me. But he said, no. If we're going to take the good things from God, we have to accept adversity as well, right? That's where that true faith is. And wisdom. There's so much wisdom in that thought or that passage right there. We can't just have things our way when we want it. That's foolishness. As Proverbs guards us against and talks against about a lot. We have to seek that wisdom and that understanding through all things and accept it and understand it. And that leads us to faith, right? We're faithful to God in all circumstances, not just when it's good for us or when it's easy for us, but throughout all times. There's as you read through the different chapters of Proverbs, oftentimes you'll, especially if you read them in order, you'll read something and you'll think, Didn't I just read this a couple chapters ago? There's many things that are repeated throughout Proverbs. And as you look at those things, you really see that the importance that and the emphasis that these things are putting on towards this idea of foolishness. The word fool, I never counted, is in the word Proverbs a lot. It talks about foolishness and the contrast of somebody that seeks wisdom versus somebody that is seeking foolishness or with foolish intentions. And it's basically a picture of two different paths is what it is. It's the, you could say, the straight and narrow or the wide, windy, easy path, right? There's two different ways we can approach this. And to have the attitude to want to seek the right counsel, to seek the truth, and to acquire understanding when we do that is so critical to our success as Christians. It helps prepare us and give us the necessary tools, you could say, to be successful. And without that desire to have wisdom, to have understanding, and to have true understanding, not just as we want it to be, but to understand God and Scripture for all that it is, complete. And when we really do that, I think we really can get the picture of how the state that we're in, how great it really is as Christians. Being able to have our sins forgiven, have eternal life, look forward to all things in the future, not just the good things, but maybe the hard things as well. Again, Kirk made a point talking about sacrifice there. Sometimes that's part of it, having that understanding, knowing that this is what I have to do, but it's okay because God's in control of this, right? It's such a vital, critical part, that desire to seek wisdom. So that's what I had this morning. Thank you.
I guess I'm in Proverbs 2, Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs also, I should have said. Proverbs chapter 8 is what Brandon had for me today. It's always interesting in Proverbs, since you're all in Proverbs, it does all eventually tie together, but that's essentially how the Scriptures, no matter where you're at in the Bible, even if we weren't in Proverbs today, how often when we do this quick draw, they tie together. It's because the Scripture really ties together in so many different ways, and it's something that, you know, if you really read through the Bible and you look at that stuff and how it all fits together and never contradicts, it's really amazing how, you know, people can say that it's not truth, because it really is. You know, for so many different years of writing, so many different authors that actually put the pen to the paper. It's perfect. It fits together perfectly, and that's impossible if without God, and it, with God being the author is the reason that it is what it is. So it's just always interesting when we do a quick draw how everything fits together. But my passage is Proverbs 8, verse 33. It says, "Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, watching at my doorposts, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death." This is kind of an interesting little set of four scriptures. It's instruction, it's encouraging, and it's also kind of a warning. And as we look through it, you know, all of this stuff tying together with Kirk's about iron and sharpen iron, Dad's about discipline, all this stuff goes into what it really means to seek God. It's just paraphrasing, there's a quote I read one time about the difference between motivation and discipline. And motivation is weak and discipline lasts. Because if you're disciplined to do it, you'll do it even on the days you don't feel like doing it. Motivation, if you don't feel like doing it, you won't do it. And that's the difference between them. And so many people look for motivation in life, especially it's, you know, with sports or whatever, whether it's with art or music, whatever it is. You know, they always have, you know, authors, whatever it is. They're looking for something to motivate them, a muse or something to inspire them. And that stuff can be good, but it always has to transfer to discipline for us to be able to continue to do it. If you only work on the days that you feel like working, you're not going to get much accomplished. Because there's a lot of days in this life where you just don't feel like going out and doing it, but you have to go out and do it. And that's discipline. Again, looking at the iron sharpening iron, you know, looking to the seeking wise counsel. I know Dad used to talk quite a bit about different things about when he wanted to be a good farmer, he went to the guy who had a good sized farm and who was a successful farmer. Well, if you want to learn to build a house, you go to the guy who's built a house. If you want to go to somebody who knows, you know, want to learn something about the scripture and learn how to study different things, you go to somebody who studied it and who's learned the scripture. You look at those for those type of people. And I think that's all part of seeking to be better and seeking God. And when we want to look for what how we're supposed to live, we have an example of that in how Christ lived. And that is what we can look at in the scriptures. But kind of off topic a little bit, I was getting there, but still it's there. In verse 33, it says, "Heed instruction and be wise." And then it says in verse 40, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts." Turn to, actually I should pull that out. I don't know if... Somewhere. Do I have a little notepad back there, Jane? Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." And then pop over into chapter 7. We'll start in verse 7. It says, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened." If we're seeking God and we're seeking his instruction, we're seeking his righteousness, we're going to get wisdom. We're going to become righteous. We're going to live that way. It's all about where we seek. It's a lot about mindset, and we've talked about this a lot, and about Dad always talks about Christianity being an attitude, and really a lot of it is. It's about where your mind is focused and what you're looking for and what you're searching for. And if we're seeking God and we're seeking his righteousness, we're probably going to be more like God and more like righteousness. We're going to live righteously. I can't remember what the percentage is, but or if there's actually a percentage, but there's an old saying that says if you hang out with 9 millionaires, eventually you'll probably be a millionaire. If you hang out with 9 druggies, eventually you'll probably be a druggie. And that's really how it is. The people you hang around with, the people you put yourself in your life, bad company corrupts good morals. I didn't have that wrote down, but that's a passage that was quoted to us as kids a lot, especially when we were going out on the town. Bad company corrupts good morals, and that's something that we really have to look for and we have to be on watch for. But seeking Christ and seeking his righteousness and his wisdom, we will find it. Proverbs, back there in chapter 8, verse 35, it says, "For he who finds me finds life, but he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death." Turn to John chapter 15. Let's start in verse 7 there. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. By this my Father glorified that you bear much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in me, in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be made full." And turn back to chapter 14, in verse 6. It says, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So we look at this. If we follow his commandments and we abide in him, the only way to do that is to look at the scriptures, to figure out how to do that. Look at the scriptures and look at other men and women that are walking that walk. But looking to Jesus as our example and seeking him first allows us to understand and to gain that wisdom and that instruction and to love that instruction. We will be more like him. And we know that he is the way to God. As it says in chapter 14 that we just read, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We have got to seek Christ in everything we do. And we have to when we seek Christ, it's not seeking somebody who we have a picture of that we want Christ to be. It's seeking actually who he was and his teachings for what they actually are. And Rand talked about it. If we disagree with something, or something comes in, it's something that maybe we don't, is not as easy for us to swallow. If the Bible says it, we got to swallow it. We have to humble ourselves and be like him. And we have to be open to that reproof, that rebuking that we receive. I think that was Dad's passage, wasn't it, that talked about if you don't love rebuke or reproof. Was it reproof? I can't remember what word it was. Reproof. If you don't love reproof, you're stupid. And then like 8 kids in this room just said, "Grandpa said stupid." But we have to love the whole scripture, and we have to understand, and we have to live by the whole scripture, not just the parts we like, because eventually we'll never. The Bible is simple enough for a young child to understand, but complex enough that we could study it our whole lives and never have a full understanding of it. And that is something that we have to continue to work for, is to continue to read the scripture, continue to learn about the scripture, to learn what we're supposed to do, but knowing that all the way through our lives, if we keep doing that, we will be subject to change. And we have to change if the Bible tells us to. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we'll start in the first verse. It says, If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's about where we set our minds. Seek him. Seek to love his instruction, to love his reproof, to love his correction. Seek to love everything about it. And be willing to change if it requires you to change. We can't just go through life and pick and choose the things of the Bible that we want to pick and choose from. When it tells us to do something, we better do it. Because the Bible is the Word of God. And verse 36 of chapter 8, when back in Proverbs, says, "But he who sins against me injures himself, and all those who hate me love death." It's a choice. People make the choice. And it's our choice to make to follow him. And it's something that we have to wake up every day and make that choice. Because if we just do it, if we follow him on the days that we feel like following him, we're not going to follow him very long. Because this life has a way of breaking you down. This life has a way of trying to separate you from different things. And if you follow Christ long enough and you work for him hard enough, eventually, you're going to get persecution even in the least persecuted place in the earth. Because people and evil does not like truth. And if you stand up for the truth, it's going to happen. And if you don't serve God on days you don't feel like it, you're just not going to do it. We have to serve him all the time. We have to seek him all the time. And that will allow us to be like him.